Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody, and good evening. It is time to step into the tippy zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, to step into your power, and to connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Felsenstein, and I am dedicated to explore a life that is lived with clarity, confidence, control, and awareness. Tonight, I'm broadcasting from the top of a beautiful mountain overlooking the Sonoma County on one side and Napa Valley on the other side. And right smack in the middle where I am is Santa Rosa. I'm talking to you from the road. I'm traveling tomorrow to Southern California, and I just wanted to check in to say hello and to let you know what is going on with me. And I've never done a broadcast from the road before, so this is all new and exciting and different and scary and all that stuff. So to tell you the truth, it took a lot of willpower for me to get myself to do this broadcast, but my self-discipline won over tonight. And I'm marched into the kitchen where I'm now sitting. You're going to see that picture of this kitchen in the slideshow below. I will post pictures of this entire property where I'm at today, because tomorrow I won't be here anymore. But this kitchen is amazingly beautiful. It's big, state-of-the-art. But what I personally love about it the most is that it's overlooking the valley, and I can see the light twinkling below me in the most amazing display of beauty. And I can see the stars twinkling right above me in the most natural display of lights. So tonight is clear, so I can see the stars. I've been here since Friday, and this is the first night that the stars actually came out to say hello to me. And I'm really grateful that they're keeping me company while I sit here and talk to you. Before I took this trip, I decided that this was going to be about getting into the perfect where you can totally be content with yourself. And so one of the things I've been doing is listening to as much as I can to guide myself into the state of total contentment. And so last night I fell asleep in this amazing castle, and I had a dream. And I'm not kidding you. I dreamt that I was making out with Clint Eastwood, and he was kissing me, and I was kissing him, and I didn't want to stop, even though I knew he had to go. And so I walked with him, and he put his arms around me. And I was in heaven because Clint Eastwood was still young and still really hot. And then he told me he had an appointment, which was what I was dreading from the first minute. Then he kissed me, and then he took off. And I felt bad, but I felt great. And then I woke up. And then for breakfast, we went out and we gathered some eggs from the chickens, and we picked some vegetables from the garden, and we cooked an amazing breakfast. And I don't ever remember eggs tasting so amazingly delicious. So, of course, I also get to spend some time with my daughter, and she lives on this farm. And that's also, of course, a great gift for me, but it's part of the package. And I really don't want to leave this place. I don't want to go back to New York, but I am leaving tomorrow. I'm going to see my other daughter in Los Angeles. And so while I'm on the road, I focused on learning things about getting into that state of contentment. So I want to tell you about a few things that I learned in the past few days that I really enjoyed. So I thought you may enjoy them too. So two important lessons that I looked into was one about the mind and the self and change and how we can actually change things about ourselves without using self-discipline or self-control or fighting it with our mind. And the other thing that I learned was how to relate to other people in a healthier way by changing our own attitude towards them. And basically, it was an answer of the question of why we can't all just get along. So that's the two things that I learned that I'm going to tell you about that I thought was amazing. because I always enjoy learning about how we can change our life. And I think I'm kind of like a self-help junkie. And I've been learning it for a long time, and still I always learn something new. So yesterday, the first lesson about the changing ourselves was from Dr. Robert Anthony. He is the creator of a program called The Secret of Deliberate Creation. And he does what is called instant self-hypnosis. And the takeaway from everything was that until and unless you get by the critical factor or the gatekeeper, which I will explain to you in a minute what that means, nothing will really work. But once you do get by it, nothing will ever stop you from getting what you want. And so my question at the end of that was, is self-hypnosis the answer? But it will be your question, and then we can discuss that. And this is what I learned, is that we have one brain and two minds. The two minds that we have is the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. And the conscious mind is, of course, the mind that we're aware of and the mind that we're in control of. And the subconscious mind is the mind that is running the program behind our conscious mind, but that mind is unlimited. And that the conscious mind is very, very limited. So here is what I learned from him. Okay, so the conscious mind is actually the everyday normal state of awareness. It's very limited, but it's very good at planning things and taking a mental trip to the future, breaking it down, planning how we get there. And it allows us to have the self-awareness of the beautiful scenery, of falling in love, of appreciating a good task, of being proud of what we accomplish. It allows us to appreciate the good things. So we decide what we want more of, and the reason and the logic, and that's a very valuable skill. But the subconscious mind, we record and we respond to habits. This is where we get our wisdom, our insight, our intuition, our memories, and the happy memories, the unpleasant memories and experiences. They're all stored in our subconscious mind. And our subconscious mind is also our connection to the higher intelligence. It follows the order of the conscious mind. So emotions come from here, and emotion is the fuel that drives us. We can't achieve anything without emotions. It's also the place where we store memories, because our understanding of the world and how it works comes from the unconscious mind. When we need the information, it brings it up to the conscious awareness. So mostly we operate from the subconscious mind. It's aware of what is going on in the world about half a second before we actually become aware of it with our conscious mind. So it just gives us enough time to send a message to the brain, and it allows us to respond on time. So the conscious is limited in what we can do, and the subconscious is unlimited. That's the two minds that we're talking about, and the one brain. But between the two minds is what we have that he calls the critical factor. And the critical factor takes what the conscious mind is thinking, and it passes it on to the subconscious mind. And at times, it allows it to be delivered, but sometimes the critical factor does not allow it to be delivered. Because the critical factor is developed at about 6 years of age. So before we're 6 years old, up to the age of six, we just pick up information very quickly because the critical factor doesn't exist. And how it works is, let's say you say, I want to quit smoking. The critical factor asks the subconscious and tells you that you want to quit smoking. Subconscious takes the path of least resistance, always takes the path of least resistance. And because of that, subconscious will decline the opportunity because it likes things the way they are. And it likes routine. And it hates change. And it tries to justify the decision to keep smoking, like if you hear yourself saying, I need to reduce the stress, that's why I smoke. Or I'm smoking because it makes me feel good. I'm smoking because I like it. Because that's how the subconscious justifies why critical factor won't let you go through and change things. But once you replace those hidden subconscious beliefs, then nothing can stand in your way of accomplishing whatever it is that you want. So another word for the critical factor is the gatekeeper, and that's what I mentioned before. You can either call it the critical factor or the gatekeeper that keeps the gate closed between your conscious and your subconscious and allows it to open only to accept things that it can actually accept. So primarily it's about making life easier by rejecting information that doesn't match what you already have inside. And it's designed to keep new information out. So it comes in hand, and it is helpful when someone tries to convince you to do something harmful, because that's when the gatekeeper has the tools and the emotions like fear and doubt and anger that will automatically reject that information. Now, what happens when we want to change? Most people try changing through willpower. And they will say things like, I will lose weight, I will be wealthy, I will things to happen. And the problem with that, with the willpower, is that we don't really have a willpower, or we don't even have a lack of willpower, because what we're really doing is allowing our conscious attention to override the subconscious attention, which we can do. Because when you consciously decide not to do it, it will override the subconscious. But why doesn't it work? Because as soon as you stop paying attention, the subconscious automatically takes over and you're right back to where you started. You're right back to the subconscious programming. So you keep doing the same thing that you did before, the same procrastination. As long as your conscious attention stays on what you want to do, you will not procrastinate. But as soon as your subconscious moves away, you're going to procrastinate. So the conscious mind kind of is like the captain of the boat. It directs and it steers the boat. It will not be pushing the coal or cleaning the ship. The crew that represents the subconscious, that will actually be doing the job. But the conscious is actually what's going to give the information to the subconscious to do the job. And the subconscious is the blueprint that will take over. As soon as your attention is away, whatever attention you want to make, as soon as you stop thinking about it, automatically in control. So basically, what he's saying is that you have to get to the subconscious to make a permanent change. And according to him, the way to go to the subconscious is through hypnosis. And my question is it only through hypnosis? Is deliberate creation with hypnosis, self-hypnosis, or any other kind of hypnosis? Or is there another way? And that's going to be my next venture of finding out what other possibilities are there other than hypnosis or self-hypnosis to find out if that way we can go directly to our subconscious. And so that was one of the really important things that I learned, and that I learned from the airport coming up to this amazing place. Another thing that he talked about was the state of being that we are, and that's also something I'm going to touch on next time that we talk, because it also depends when you try to tell your subconscious what to do, what state you're in. So if you're, for example, in a bad state of mind, in a very sad state of mind, and you're trying to tell subconscious that you want to be really happy, happily married, as long as you're in a bad state of mind, happily married is not in the same state. It's in a different state. So you cannot get into that state, and therefore it's not going to work. It's kind of like if you wake up every day in Santa Monica, where I'm going to be tomorrow, and you take a ride down to the ocean and you look for the Statue of Liberty, and you can't find it, and you get frustrated. And then the next day you get up, and you're still in Santa Monica, and you still take that drive down to the ocean, and you're still looking for the Statue of Liberty, and it's still not there. And you get really upset day after day after day. You go down to the ocean, and you look for the Statue of Liberty, and it's not there. And finally, one day, you get down there, you throw a fit, and somebody asks you, what is wrong with you? And you say, I come here every day looking for the Statue of Liberty. I can't find it. And they say, well, you're in the wrong state, because the Statue of Liberty is in another state in the other side of the country. And it's the same thing with the subconscious mind. If you're in a state, in one state, and you're trying to change a different state, it's like being in a different location within the subconscious map, and you cannot access that state. So the first thing that you have to do is go into the state where you want to be, and then you look for the things that are in there, and then you can change them. So I thought that was pretty fascinating. I love listening to things like that and working with my subconscious. And of course, after I read it all night long, as I was trying to access my subconscious, trying to figure out if it was hypnosis that I had to do, self-hypnosis, or can I actually direct my conscious mind to override my subconscious and to change the subconscious programming in a different way, I was thinking about something very related to my dream with Clint Eastwood. And I dreamt about Clint Eastwood, which I thought it was great. So if nothing else, it took me to a state inside my subconscious that I liked and I enjoyed. And I really wouldn't mind doing it again tonight. So we'll see what happens tonight and where I go tonight. And the second thing that I read and that I learned was about people. A big part of the key and a big part of being social and having to do with a lot of people is the question of why can't we just get along? And the answer is that we can't all just get along, because we don't. And because we don't, the fact of the matter is that it's just A-okay. We don't all have to get along. But it's valuable, because you can stop fighting when it's not a fit and when we don't get along. So the people in the situation that are not 100% match should be dropped and left behind and leave the space open to fill it in with the people that you do get along with. Because if you don't think that way and you fight, keep fighting to get along with everyone, and what happens is, when you don't, you always think that there's something wrong with you. I always think there's something wrong with me. Well, why can't I just get along with that person? There must be something wrong with me. And I would fight to get along, and I would fight, and I would spend a lot of time and a lot of energy. And so conflict was everywhere, everywhere in my life, and it really tore me apart, and it trapped me in a drama, and it trapped me in a self-judgment and really a lot of doubt. A lot of times I felt wrong and I felt bad and I felt sad and frustrated. I can't even begin to describe to you. And I couldn't understand what I was doing wrong. I was trying so hard to do it all right, and I was failing. And this past year, I realized a massive difference. I realized that I don't have to get along with everyone. I also realized that I don't have to give advice to people who don't want it, but that's another thing. But now I see that don't have to all get along, and that was keeping me trapped. I see that I really didn't trust that if it didn't feel good, I could walk away and make space for what does feel good. Because I thought I was a bad person. And if I didn't stick it out and I didn't make it work, I was bad. So today I realized that that's not the way it has to be. I actually had to let go of someone that I know from high school, someone that has always been in a very painful relationship with me, someone that has always caused me pain. And I finally let her go. And I have been wanting to let it go for a long time, but just not feeling right. But ever since I did let her go, I feel easy. I feel that I can breathe again. And the amazing thing is, in New York, I met amazing people, a lot of amazing people to fill the space for that bad thing that I let go. So much good came into my life. And it's so much easier than the way I did things before, because I struggled to fix things. And sure, I could make it better, and I would hold on to situations and people and resources I thought I needed, or I thought they needed me. And I was... It was just really, really hard. But you know what? not anymore. My new mantra is show up as all of myself. And if it's not a match, I'm going to let it go, and I'm going to let it go fast. Not to say that it's always easy. I know we could always get hooked into patterns and wanting to save people and thinking that I can save people and believing it, that if I just try a little harder, I can make it work, and I could wish it could be different, and I could still sometimes be tempted into the idea that compromising myself to fit in is important. But now I can see when it happens quickly, I come back to myself and I let go of what doesn't resonate much more rapidly. And I wish for you the same. Because what will happen is when you let go of everything that is not a match, you'll either find yourself surrounded by the most amazing people and relationships you can imagine, or you'll find yourself alone and having to face where you are not being the person you want to be. And you will become that person before you begin to rebuild your relationships. Either way, you're on the path to creating your own version of heaven on earth. And that's what I want for you. And that's what I read today from a woman called Alexis Neely. And it was like I was reading about myself because she was going through it. She felt the same way I did. And the amazing thing is I was going through it this year too. So that is the two important lessons. One is love yourself enough to know that it's okay not to get along with everyone. You don't have to. Not everything is a fit. Not everyone is at the same place at the same time. And then the second one is to find a path to the subconscious mind to make the life for 2016 that we always wanted, the kind of life that I think is the life that we all deserve, and definitely you deserve. And definitely my commitment is to do my best to give you everything that I know and everything that I've learned. And fortunately and unfortunately, I've been through so much and I've learned so much. And my pain and my learning is all open and ready to share. So I don't have to struggle with people who give me a hard time. I have to embrace the people in my life that are amazing, that are a great fit, and that are mutually beneficial on all levels. And so I want to thank you so much for listening to me tonight and for supporting me. I'm very grateful for that. I am going to be standing here for a while in awe of this amazing view. I see the trees. I see the sky. There's actually two swings here. I'm going to take a little bit of a swing as I watch this beautiful scene that I want to kind of imprint into my brain so I can take it with me for whenever I need it so I can bring it up. And I'm going to enjoy this house. Going to go visit this castle's rooms and see maybe, because in the back of my mind, what I'm thinking is bring all of you out here and do a weekend retreat where each and every one of us can enjoy this amazingly blend of nature and man-made stuff together. So until we meet again, have a magical journey and let your talent be your potion.